Start up your Wednesday right here on B&E. Start up every day here on the Show of the People. Appreciate you doing it. Tell a friend. Bring a friend with you. Tell them, hey, listen on your smart speaker when you're working from home now. That's all you have to do. Tell your Alexa or your smart speaker, hey, turn on 104.9 The Horn or The Horn in Austin. We'll get you right here. Also, on your Horn app, hornfm.com, 104.9 as well, 101.9 AM 1260. So many ways to find us, and we appreciate you doing that as we're talking all things Texas football, coming into a matchup with Baylor on Saturday. A big weekend of college football on tap, Big 12 and beyond. Big 10 rejoins the college football conversation this weekend as we turn the page on this Wednesday and start to preview the bigger games of the weekend, and certainly the NFL as well, where it's a mess in Houston, it's a mess in Dallas. We'll get more on that coming up as we roll forward on this Wednesday morning. We mentioned the B&E fact of the day. We'll pay that off coming up. We'll hear Jane Slater in her own words of what she's hearing coming out of that Cowboys locker room. It's not good. That not only are the Cowboys bad, but maybe the players don't trust the coaches right now, don't think they're getting much from their coaching staff, and that's not a good thing at 2-4, and very easily Cowboys could be 0-6. We know they had a last-second win over the New York Giants, who are a pretty hapless 1-5 team, and the Atlanta Falcons game, we know that was a miracle win if there ever was one for the Cowboys. So not good for there. Texans trending the wrong direction. Longhorns trying to fight for their season on Saturday against the Baylor Bears as they get this thing rolling on this Wednesday morning. So a lot to do. We had the World Series last night. Let's get to your headlines, get to your trending topics as we get you up and going on this Wednesday. Then we'll pay off the B&E fact of the day. Brian AC and Electric bringing you the headlines. And yeah, we'll start with that World Series game one last night. LA Dodgers get the early jump on the Tampa Rays. 8-3, the final game was scoreless in the fourth when Cody Bellinger broke the tie with a two-run home run, a blast that was 108 miles an hour off his bat to right field. Mookie Betts also hit a home run, went 2-for-4 with a dinger. A couple of stolen bases as well for Mookie. That all back to the Metroplex native Clayton Kershaw, who gave up just a run over six outstanding frames as the Dodgers get the 8-3 win. Game two is tonight. Blake Snell goes for the Rays. It'll be a bullpen game for the Dodgers. They're going to put the ball in the right-hander Tony Gonsolin's hand to start the thing, then try to cobble together enough innings with their bullpen to get it back to their starting rotation in Game 3. Texas football program announcing yesterday that the team's going to wear white throwback uniforms this Saturday when they host the Baylor Bears at DKR, Texas Memorial Stadium. It's part of their retro throwback celebration weekend. The specially designed throwback uniforms unveiled to the players and staff yesterday are the Icy Whites with the white jersey tops and the white pants. First time the Longhorns have worn the Icy Whites at home for a game at the stadium since 1950. Texas 2-2 on the year, coming off back-to-back heartbreaking losses to TCU and Oklahoma. Quarterback Sam Ehlinger says yesterday that despite all the distractions and the back-to-back losses, team is still focused on getting better.
As a team, you know, we're very close, and we certainly haven't let any frustration or mistakes splinter us in any sort of way. And I think the way to combat that in any way to elite performance in anything that you do is having a positive mindset.
Well, they got to have that. 2:30 on Saturday. It'll pregame at 10:30 right here on the Horn, Texas and Baylor. NFL, big trouble in Big D. The Dallas Cowboys off to that miserable 2-4 start to their season. The two wins came last-second variety. Now comes word from the NFL Network and Jane Slater at the NFL Network. The Cowboy players starting to let their discontent be known. According to Slater, a player told her, quote, Mike McCarthy's staff is totally unprepared. They don't teach. They don't have any sense of adjusting on the fly. They just aren't good at their job. And from an unnamed Cowboys player through Jane Slater, we'll have more on that coming up. Elsewhere in the NFL, Miami Dolphins 3-3 on the year, coming off back-to-back wins, but they're making a change at quarterback. The rookie Tua Tagovailoa will take over as their starting QB after their bye week. They have the week off this week, but Tua will take the reins for their next game against the LA Rams on November 1st.
This hour brought to you by Bryant AC and Electric, Austin's award-winning electrical and air conditioning service company. Family-owned and operated since 1982. BryantElectricService.com.
All right, so we'll hear from Jane Slater coming up. Did you get locked out? Where'd you go?
I was locked out, pacing the halls like Newt Rodney, getting ready for my good speech to the team and wondering what's up with this
group.
Got to
have a key card to get into our building. We have high security operation here at the
I left
Hornet.
My wallet here. I left my phone in here. Zay's locked up there in the bat cave over there. And I banged on every door. I was going up and down from Coke FM, banging, slamming.
You were pacing like Newt Rockney?
I was, man. I was like, what's Tom Herman doing today? What is he giving them? He needs to give not only a speech on Saturday, he needs to be giving a daily speech to these guys.
3 week of practice.
Got so worried about everybody's feelings. Now all my feelings are hurt today. No, I'm very sensitive today. If I fumble, I'm sensitive. My God, man. Come on. Coach him. Coach him hard. Sometimes you got to kick him in the ass. Sometimes you got to get him cranked up.
Hey, this.
Sometimes you got to yell at him when they're not in the right place. You can't put your arm around him and start telling them about, please don't go in the portal. Please don't leave me. Screw them.
Dang.
They don't want to be here. Don't be here. Get some other guys to be here. Get the second string guys. Get Mo Money out there in the play a little bit. That guy plays in games. Who? He'll give you his all. Kai Money. Get more Kai Monies out there to play. Guys that want to be here. Guys that want to play football. Hey, worry about their feelings. Care about your feelings.
Can we pay off the B&E fact of the day?
I'm thinking Jeter was involved in that.
Okay, let me give you the question again.
Come on.
So, Cody Bellinger, Mookie Betts, both hit home runs last night. It's the first pair of MVP winners on the same team to hit a home run in the same World Series game since 2002. Any guess who the last... There's been five pair of MVPs to hit home runs in the same World Series game.
I'm trying to think. Was Bernie Williams an MVP?
Derek Jeter was never an MVP, so that should eliminate Derek Jeter.
What?
Derek Jeter never won a season MVP. He won a World Series MVP a couple of times.
He's the captain then.
Never won an MVP.
Never.
So he cannot be the answer to the MVP question. The answer, 2002, Barry Bonds and Jeff Kent.
Our very own Jeff Kent.
Our very own Jeff Kent, Central Texas' own. He was an MVP of the National League back in the day as a second baseman, but that's the last. You know, the other four, how about this? If you go back, Reggie Jackson and Thurman Munson, 1977.
I was thinking about Reginald.
Thurman Munson, what a name. They both hit home runs in a World Series game, 1977. Brooks Robinson and Frank Robinson, 1966. And then how about this one, going way back? 1964, Mickey Mantle, Roger Maris.
Yes.
Those are the only five times it's happened, and it happened last night. A pair of MVPs on the same team, jacking home runs in a World Series game, Bellinger and Betts.
Mookie Betts with his glove is like, that thing is like five times his regular size when he goes and gets it. He makes it look easy.
Superstar, man. Both those guys. I mean, that's why the Dodgers are heavily favored in this series, and I think a lot of people think they're finally going to cash one in after finding themselves down 3-1 to the Braves and seeing their season about to go away. But yeah, I mean, they're just so talented. I mean, Clayton Kershaw finally stepped up in a big postseason spot and gave him six great innings last night.
You know what? He did not look good in the first two, man. He threw a lot of balls.
I thought he got bailed out by the umpire in the first inning, by the way. They run
gave
up.
Gave him some lows and inside pitches,
didn't
he?
Well, I was counting. He threw like six of eight pitches that didn't even make it to the plate. I mean, he was spiking his curveball. They were bouncing in the dirt.
You should be thanking the catcher for a couple of those, and they had guys on base.
And they rung up Mike Zunino on a check swing that there's no way. The bat never got close to the plate.
And that was one that bounced, didn't it?
Yeah, it was one of the six or eight pitches that bounced, not even on like in the dirt, like before the plate. Like,
he got away with some inside pitches, either were low and inside. I'm like, what, that's a strike?
Yeah, I thought he got bailed out a little bit in that first inning because he was struggling to find his command, and it was almost like he didn't want to throw strikes. And the umpire helped him out there. They called the check swing strikeout, which was big. And I don't know if it was Zunino, no, someone else in the third hitter for the Rays last night. But either way, he settled down after that, was much better after that first inning. And as we say, Bellinger hit a home run. Those are two of the five best players in this league, Betts and Bellinger, and they play next to each other in that Dodger outfield. I mean, Corey Seager was, with all that said, Corey Seager was the MVP of the NLCS with his performance. He's a great shortstop. They've got the young catcher, Will Smith. I mean, they're just loaded.
By the way, I said the word hate. I don't hate Baylor. I don't like to use that word. No, I don't. I dislike them very much. I dislike
passionately what
their school
them.
Has been about, and I haven't forgot about that either. That hasn't gone away.
The scandals.
But I don't hate. I don't. That word hate is really a strong word, so I don't hate them. But I truly dislike them an awful lot. So it's really on that borderline of hate, but you know what I mean? I just don't like to say the word hate. So... It's
almost there.
It's just okay.
It's almost there.
It's close, but it's not that word.
Yeah.
But it's just around the corner.
It is just around the corner. Can we dive into our Coach's Corner, which is just around the corner? Let's hit it.
Welcome to the Coach's Corner.
I want to say, Buck, in our Coach's Corner, brought to you by Audiovisual Consultations, that I've given up on the season for the Longhorns. I'm just trying to be practical and realistic with the people here on the show.
I understand.
Because we both came in. I picked Texas to win the Big 12 and play for a Big 12 championship and win it.
I did too.
But here we are.
That wasn't unrealistic.
Well,
the head coach
in hindsight,
told us
it probably was. But at the end of the day, I've seen four games of this team, and mm-hmm. there's nothing I see that indicates that they have any. The word championship should be anywhere surrounding them. They don't do anything to a championship level.
Okay, are you able to say that these players, that other teams that you see in the Big 12 have better players?
No. There's a reason I picked them to win the Big 12. But you are what you are, and it just feels like they're playing out the string here. And you say if Tom Herman loses another game, he'll be out. I think that process is already beginning. But yes, if they find something we haven't seen yet, I mean, because if they show up and play a really clean, dominant game against Baylor, that'd be great to see. But we just haven't seen it. How much better is Baylor than TCU, or worse is Baylor than TCU? TCU is not a very good team. That's why I keep pointing out the records of the teams that Texas has played already. Texas Tech, TCU, and Oklahoma are 2-7 in the Big 12. They say that out loud. 2-7. They're not good.
I understand.
And they'd be 0-9 if they hadn't played Texas.
But when you have this, argue. I'm going to say this: when you have this much talent, they have the ability in 2 weeks right now to still beat a Baylor team.
Sure,
I believe.
I think so. But will that win change my opinion on can they play for the Big 12 championship game? No.
No, there's too many other games to be played
because they still have to go to Stillwater the following week.
Yeah,
they still have to play Iowa State. They still have to play Kansas State and Manhattan. There's just nothing. It just seems. Maybe I'm being way. I think I'm being realistic and practical, but some would argue that it's negative. It's just it is for me. But I see your point. You're coaching it up, getting this thing turned the page. And,
yeah, I mean they
find
have
some
to,
momentum. This is now a year long process where in the last 11 Big 12 games, Texas is 5-6. They're not a good team week to week. They're sloppy. I mean, it's all the things we talk about. And now you got this from the fan base. Says, who cares what they're wearing for uniforms on Saturday? It cracks me up. I don't give a blank what they're wearing onto the field because
they come out
naked for all I care. Just don't lose.
they do. They're going to find out which matching sweatbands work on their calves and all that.
Dude, these are sweet unis. I saw the picture.
They're
sweet looking, man.
That's okay.
They're the retro throwback. Well, they're not even the icy whites you saw at the Cotton Bowl. They're actually like old school.
They can play in their
50s.
Jock straps and a helmet. They be physical. You're going to go out looking like the Stay Puft Marshmallow guys this week? You can't go out there.
You can't
go out there without being physical. You can't go out there worrying about what's going to happen the next day and what you're going to and how people are going to treat. It's a football game. Their minds are on so many different things. I don't get this. I don't get why you work so damn hard to play the game of football this year and you can't get focused on it and your coaches can't get focused on it. Because they're worried about your feelings.
Well, they just...
I don't care about your feelings. Let's go play some football.
They're going to play. I mean, I just don't expect to see much different than what I've seen already.
Well, how comes that guy's making $6 million?
Because that's the contract they agreed to. But, can we hear from Sam Ellinger? He is the starting quarterback. He is a senior. He was asked yesterday. I still find this remarkable that we're now on October the 21st. Sam Ellinger, again, was there for a virtual Zoom press conference of media availability and fielding questions about the eyes of Texas and Chris Del Conte's message to them last Wednesday when they met as a team. Yet here we are on October 21st, and that same athletic director has not fielded questions from the media about anything this season. That still is remarkable to me. But either way, here's Sam Ellinger on the what CDC had to say last Wednesday when they met as a team.
Mr. Del Conte came in and laid out the expectations for paying respect to the fans and the university. I'm sure that y'all have heard plenty about that, so I don't need to go into much depth about that. But I'm worried about playing the game. You know, we want to win, and this is a lot of politics that are getting in the way, and we understand that. And so while I absolutely respect the university in the eyes of Texas, I want to win, and that's our job. Our job isn't to determine what's the right or wrong thing to do. Our job is to win and eliminate distractions along that path.
Sam, of course, was also asked, because this is the first time we've heard from Sam since the Oklahoma game, about the photo of him standing by himself on the Cotton Bowl field after the loss in quadruple overtime to the Sooners two Saturdays ago. Here's Sam Ellinger.
Yeah, Anwar, I think it's... I think it's a little bit of a misunderstanding with everything going on. I know it's been blown up and all over the place, but you know, I stayed on the field after for longer than my teammates. I was talking to coaches and players, and so I was out there for a longer time. You know, all of Oklahoma's players were running. You know, they won. They were celebrating, rightfully so. They won the game. And, you know, you don't want to stand out there when there's no band. And it just took a really long time. And there were a lot of things going on. And so I know that there were a few other guys out there on the field. I know when I turned around to walk back to the locker room, Taquan Graham was there waiting for me. I don't know if he sang the song or not, but he didn't leave. I wasn't the only one on the field. And so I think there was a bit of confusion there. After the game, I was talking to coaches and players, and then remembered to walk over to where the band normally is, I guess, and sing the song.
And yeah, he wasn't trying to separate himself from anybody. He just, in his mind, he's done it for so long, that's where he went to.
It's ingrained in him.
Yeah, that's a part of what he's about. I mean, as I coached there, I knew exactly where I was going. Shook a couple hands, and then I was going left. It's just like going to the grocery store. He knows exactly what he was supposed to do. How comes so many others didn't? You know why? Because they're so confused right now because they still don't have any leadership over there to point them in the direction that they need to go. There was correct. No conclusion made in June, and that's exactly what you get. You get us now not thinking about the football games, but you got us thinking about the school song. And this is totally amazing that's where we are right now. It's like nobody's going to be watching a game. They're going to be watching to see who's out there after the game, and that is sad.
But it comes from leadership. You're right about that. And here with Sam, because this was an interesting – the follow-up question to Sam was why the eyes is important to him. I mean, we know he's a lifelong Texas fan, grew up going to the games with his parents and his father. Here with Sam Ellinger on why the song means a lot to him.
Well, I shared my perspective with the team, so to front end that question, there is no splintering of this song. I think that because it's an election year, everything is made up to be a lot more polarizing than it really is. I've had a lot of talks with guys on the team, and they completely understand my perspective. And that perspective is that, you know, I grew up a Longhorn. I grew up seeing the eyes of Texas win, lose, or draw. And I understand, you know, I shared that experience with my family, and I shared that experience with my dad. And never once singing that song has anything negative ever crossed my mind. It was always about, you know, paying respect to the university and the incredible tradition that the University of Texas has. And I also feel a connection with my family and my dad singing that song because I grew up doing that. And so that's why it's important to me. And all of my guys and all of my teammates understand that, and they know my perspective. And so, yeah.
All right, there's Sam Ellinger, candid. Of course, his father passed away when he was a teenager.
Right.
And there's a strong reason that there's
a strong reason not only to bond with the university, but to bond with his dad.
Yeah, yeah, and that's powerful, and that's where Sam
is.
One other from Sam Ellinger, the Texas quarterback, the expectations for Baylor. I mean, it's obviously a game's going to be played on Saturday at 2:30. It's, you know, an important game for the Longhorns. Obviously, they're all important at this point at 2-2 and 1-2 in Big 12 play. Here's Sam Ellinger on the Bears.
They obviously they've been hit pretty hard this year with COVID, so they haven't played as many games as other teams up until this point have. So, and obviously a new coordinator, I'm on the defensive side of the ball, so kind of digging up some old film from last year and things like that. But I know that they're going to play hard. I remember just last year the way that they played and the culture that they had. They have a bunch of guys that run to the ball, play with great effort. And that's what I'm expecting on Saturday. A really well-coached team that gives great effort, and they have really good players as well.
He's a very candid young man. I wonder if he can say the same about his coaches, that they're well-coached. I wonder if Sam Ellinger could actually look in the mirror and say that, because he's pretty candid about things he says. And if you asked him behind closed doors, would he say, yeah, we're well – I guarantee you he would tell you the truth. That they're not well coached, that we do some ridiculous things. I mean, it's like the grown-ups need to make some of the decisions now. It's past time for the grown-ups to have started making decisions. A lot of that stuff should have happened in June. But the same candid guy that makes all the candid decisions for this football team, not the head coach, not the athletic director, if you ask him, are you guys a well-coached team, that dude right there would tell you, no, we're not.
I think so.
I'm pretty sure he would say, no, we're not.
Well, how could you say that with a straight face? Because they're not, they don't do anything to a high level. There's not one, I mean, what do they do to a high level is a fair question. Outside of Sam Ehlinger making plays, when you look at it, is their run game a high level? Is their pass game a high level? Is their defense high level in any phase?
They're not coached at a high level.
Right. Well, and their special teams. So, no, I mean, there's, and that's why.
So I'm talking championships over here? Yeah, is that why you aren't? Come on, man.
Quit with
don't say
take that
quit
word
with
out
it.
Of it.
Because they're still in it. Because they're playing Baylor this week. They're really playing Baylor.
It's like saying the Cowboys are, they can still win their division, which is true. Who cares? They're terrible. I mean, they're historically bad. And, you play to win the game, play to win championships. You play to be great. And I think Sam does for sure. All right, we'll come back. We'll take your thoughts on that. And Sam Ehlinger again addressing it and being asked about it. I still don't know where the athletic director is on this. He hasn't had a press conference. Isn't that amazing? I mean, even the head coach, whether you agree or disagree with Tom Herman's stance on it, every Monday he's there talking about it, answering questions about it. But there's been pretty much silence from the
athletic
director.
He's got a newsletter that he puts out.
I know, every Tuesday. It was at the website at texassports.com. It's out as of last night. We will come back and take your thoughts on all things Texas. Cowboys got to hear from Jane Slater, her report reverberating through the NFL yesterday. The players in the Cowboys locker room, let's just say they're not impressed with their new coaching staff that came in to replace Jason Garrett and company. We'll get you details on that. Also, hot or not for the end of the hour, having some fun on a Wednesday. It's B&E.
Bucky and Aaron.
B&E on a Wednesday. Glad you're with us. Good conversations. Good to hear from Sam Ehlinger in our coach's corner because he does sound like a coach. Good to hear from Jane Slater here coming up. Her report on what's going on with the Cowboys. What a mess that is. But a couple of texts come in. This says, guys, a big portion of not meeting expectations that no one talks about is Sam and his subpar play at quarterback.
Well, the coach's job are to put a very talented college football player. I don't know what his career is going to be like when he leaves here. But he's an incredibly talented college football player that should be helped by his coaching staff and putting him in position to do some things where he's not always the guy where others have to be involved. And that's the job of the offensive coordinator. It's the job of a head coach who is supposed to be a genius when it comes to offense and has wasted 2 years of a really, really good college quarterback. So you can talk about the proportions of snaps and everything where he is touching the ball and having to do stuff, whether it's comebacks or not. You can say that he's not as accurate as he was 2 years ago or 3 years ago, but he's also put in a situation where he doesn't get a lot of help. And I don't talk about help from the players. I'm talking help from the coaches. That's their job.
Well, and that's
why they may have three-year contracts.
Sit here and say Sam's been perfect this year. Now, if you're watching along with our digital watch parties and for the Longhorn games where Rod and Brad and I are talking about the game, we've been highly critical of Sam at times for missing reads
and some
missing
decision making.
But then you ask yourself, where would they be without him? I mean, that when you talk about a team that is poorly coached, they don't run the ball and their offensive line is weak. They don't have a running game. Their passing game.
It's Texas. They don't have a run. They can't run the football.
Right, they can't. He's their leading rusher by over 100 yards. From quarterback, and most of those are on scrambles and some design runs. He's far and away their leading rusher. He's thrown 16 touchdowns and 4 picks. He's completing almost 62% of his passes. But again, I would not sit here and carry the water for Sam and say he's been perfect. He's made some mistakes. But gosh, against your rival, a bad team. Oklahoma's not a good football team. This is not Oklahoma of past years. This was the team. This is their down year.
Don't tell that to Tom Herman because he will tell you that, hey, we held them under 400.
But Against that team, without a running game at all, with receivers that don't get open very well consistently, he accounted for 500 total yards and 6 touchdowns.
They don't do anything
right,
differently.
Like, where would you be without him's comeback against Texas Tech? You'd be 0-3. I mean, he was the single reason why they came back against Texas Tech. They went 5 wide and started throwing the ball around. Sam brought him back. He's doing this without...
By the way,
much help.
I don't understand how Tom.
And
Herman,
no, he's not perfect, but boy, without him, you'd be terrible.
Well, that's just you have to get after somebody. They can't get after it. They got to find somebody, and generally, it's the quarterback that you get
been perfect. I mean, Sam's made some misreads. He's made some bad throws. He's had open receivers that he throws at their feet. That's all fair.
Here's what I don't understand.
But he is all they have.
How Tom Herman on his Monday presser can actually come in and tell you about we don't do this well, we don't do that well. We're much better in hurry up offense. Why are you telling that to me on Monday and for the last 4 weeks you don't do that? aren't we really good when we really press it down and throw it and we get in like a 2 minute? Okay, so why don't you start off some games like that, coach? I don't understand. Why don't you start off the third quarter in just 2 minute offense?
Hurry up.
I mean, why don't they do that? Why does he talk that stuff? He's so much talk.
No, that's...
You're talking about in an election year? What is he trying to get elected to?
I don't know.
A fifth year term?
All right, let's shift gears. How about the Dallas Cowboys? We wish it was more positive. Can we hear from Jane Slater, NFL Network? She had some interesting thoughts yesterday. She had a tweet that went viral about players in the locker room, and they're anonymous. Nobody putting their name on it, but here's Jane Slater yesterday on NFL Network.
You know, it's interesting. I was going to go here and talk to you guys about all the sort of numbers this year that lend itself to how bad this is. We could talk about all the players that are on IR, and it didn't help that, of course, Zach Martin exited the game with a concussion. But let me give you something that has been popping up this morning. You know, a lot of players with this new coaching staff have been reluctant to get back to reporters. We haven't been in the locker rooms. We haven't really gotten a sense, is this team buying into this new coaching staff? And there has sort of been these insinuations, even by the coaching staff, that perhaps these players are improvising a bit. Let me tell you what I'm now hearing from some of the players this morning. You know, now that, of course, it's 2-4, discontent starts to leak out, Andrew. I'm told this coaching staff is totally unprepared. They don't teach. They don't have any sense of adjusting on the fly. Another saying, they just aren't good at their jobs. Now, fans are going to hear this, and they're going to look at the tape. We had Daniel Jeremiah a couple weeks ago pointing out on the tape, well, the players just aren't good at their jobs. So now we've got both sides, it seems, pointing the finger, while perhaps the coaches aren't doing it now the way that I'm getting this information out. I guess the point I'm trying to get to you is this thing feels very broken. We've seen in the past with Jason Garrett, no matter what the record was, this team always seemed to play for him and play up to what he was challenging them to do week in and week out. Again, this is an injury bug that we really haven't seen the likes of in Dallas, but I find that very concerning when you've had players who have not wanted to get back and really comment on the sense of where we're at with this locker room, and now some of that is beginning to come to the forefront.
Mark, what do you think of that?
All right, there we go. There's the NFL Network yesterday. Yeah, Jane Slater.
And that football team needs a friend. They always need somebody to hug. Speaking of hugging them, the Cowboys, they always been able to rely on Jerry or Jason Garrett. But Mike McCarthy he's been like brutal with the media, and I know he's a different old school guy, and he looks at him when they ask like regular normal questions, not even really hard questions. He gets all gruffy about just a regular question, not even not even a difficult one. And I'm thinking, dude, you're in Dallas, you're in the Metroplex, and if you can't even answer that question, they're going to be on your ass all the time. And I just never knew about him in the beginning. I didn't know if that was a good fit or whatever. But the players aren't very good either.
Well, it's both, and I think Jane Slater kind of alluded to that the players are not playing. You know, Troy Aikman went on his weekly radio hit up in Dallas and talked about, you know, coming off of the Browns game, that it's embarrassing. I mean, you just watch the tape; these guys aren't giving max effort. These guys don't act like they want to be good. And then now you have players coming back saying the coaches aren't coaching. That's a fractured situation without question. Look, I know when they hired Mike McCarthy, you know, he's a Super Bowl winning coach. And he coached for a dozen years in Green Bay and had great success. He had Aaron Rodgers. That helps. You've seen that the Packers have actually been better since Mike McCarthy left Green Bay.
Yep.
Not last Sunday notwithstanding. They're 13-3 a year ago, 4-1 this year. And Matt LaFleur's done a nice job. But, you know, and we talked about they've got four other coaches on the staff that have been head coaches for spells in the National Football League. But they do look really undercoached. The defense, which was not good last year, but still was a, you know, if you had last year's defense for the Cowboys where they were 10th or 11th in total defense, that gives you a chance. But it's kind of like we talk about with the Longhorns. It's very similar. They don't, I mean, the offense scores a lot of points, puts up a lot of yards, but usually in garbage time because they're behind in every game because they turn the ball over. They don't take care of the football. They lead the league in turnovers by a mile. They lead the league in points off turnovers by a mile. So the offense doesn't help the defense, and the defense is just bad.
Yeah,
so,
and you know this. If there's one thing you have to do in the NFL as a coach, you have to make adjustments because the other coach, that's what they do.
Well,
what they do best.
Well, here's the thing, right? Can we start to say this, that, and it's something we've always said. It goes to Jerry Jones. It starts and ends with Jerry Jones.
Yes.
You can find other villains if you want to, but Jason Garrett was archenemy number one for 10 years for Cowboy fans. But now you're seeing what life is like without Jason Garrett, who we talked about, maybe not the best coach in the world, but understood how to handle the Jones family and coach his team and still keep a unified front in his locker room because he understood it better than anybody.
And there were times they actually played for their coach.
They did. They didn't always play great.
They're not going to play for
Bill
this
Belichick.
Guy because he's not like that.
But the problem is at the top. And, you know, this was the year where you're going to get to see when finally no Jason Garrett. Well, here you go. And this is, you know, Dak Prescott, he's the problem. Well, it starts and ends with Jerry Jones. And it has for 25 years since he couldn't get along with Jimmy Johnson and decided he was going to take over. And that's the bumper sticker version, but it's true. I mean, they haven't competed for a Super Bowl in 25 years.
Yep.
They won't compete for a Super Bowl as long as Jerry Jones is in charge. And, you know, whether we joke about it and are flipping about my walk to Dallas, that was rooted in reality. When I said it when this show back in 1999 that they won't win a Super Bowl with Jerry Jones in charge. They just won't. It's just not going to happen. It's everything we talk about. And is this all Mike McCarthy's fault? Well, he's got to own it, right? He's getting paid. His coaches are getting paid to coach the team. And they're not coaching very well. But we understand it to me, starts and ends with the top and always will. And
yep.
Same thing down in Houston. I mean, the Texans, what's their problem? Their ownership. Bob McNair and his son allowed Bill O'Brien to, you know.
Hey, what's wrong with it, Texas? How about their ownership? How about right here across the way over here? How about their ownership right now?
That goes to the top two at this point. I mean, you know, there are issues. no doubt about that.
And people will say that, you know, you and I are killing recruiting. No, we're just kind of being true because parents aren't dumb. And when you go to their house, don't believe they're stupid now. Don't believe they're dumb when you come in and walk and try to sell University of Texas into a five-stars house right now. It should have been proven to you when the Brockemeyer said, I don't think so.
If us coming on the radio every morning and being real about the team is hurting recruiting, then that's not our fault. We can't come on the air and say everything's great. You can't watch a game and say, oh, look how great they are. They're not.
I'll just say this. Like you said, when Blake Brockemeyer and his wife and his two sons said, I don't think so, that's a huge indication of where you are.
Well,
in your program.
It does. And their brother Luke plays at Texas. He's a walk-on at Texas who plays on the team for the Longhorns right now. So, yeah, I mean, look, there's similarities, no doubt, between what's going on in Houston, in Dallas, and here in Texas with Longhorns. There's no doubt. We'll talk about it with you. Obviously, we wish you were more positive and there are better things to talk about. There are some good teams out there. We'll rank them. I still think there's one team to beat in the National Football League, although there's some undefeated teams out there.
Yeah, but we're still in the championship hunt here, so don't you forget that.
If you say so, Coach.
No, it's Wednesday. So. It's Wednesday.
If you say
so. It's Baylor's week. It's Baylor week. I mean, serious, Baylor?
I know that's your most hated team. I get it.
No, don't. It's not hate it. They're very I just dislike them, but they're not that good. They can't be that good. All the players they lost. Dave Aranda just got a head coaching gig. How good can that guy be?
I don't want to be a broken record, but the teams Texas already played and lost to aren't very good. So I don't know how you can say, well, they're not very good. Well, neither is Texas.
We had a great Sunday.
We'll be back. Beginning on the Horn. Hot or not next. Resetting your top stories. World Series game one in the books. Busy Wednesday.
What's hot? And what's not?
This segment brought to you by Altstadt Beers, brewed right here in the heart of the Hill Country. Check out their state-of-the-art brewery, tap room, and restaurant next time you're in Fredericksburg. Altstadt Beers, no impurities, no regrets.
You know, E, when we left here yesterday and we were talking about Jeffrey Tube Steak, I went home and that was on my mind for a couple hours. It should have been, it shouldn't have been, but it was on my mind.
Jeffrey Tubin.
Tubin.
Which, if immediately Tubin doesn't become a verb, you know, an action verb.
Yeah. Well, it kind of bothered me.
Did you do
me.
Some tubing?
I was just thinking, I mean, what do you tell your kids? I mean, dad was punching cattle on Zoom. I mean, in front of everybody. I mean, how do you, it's just hard for me to fathom anything but just leaving the house, totally packing up my stuff and telling my family goodbye because of the embarrassment. No, you can't leave the house.
The going gets tough.
The tough gets tubing?
He was just tubing.
But you can't go. You can't. How can you look at your kids in the face? I know there are tougher things in life than for dad to get caught.
So you're saying you went home and
Willie?
Is that what you're saying?
No, I did not. I did not. And I'm not
talking about a Zoom call. I'm talking about just in general.
No, I can never do that again ever in my life
because of him.
Yeah, never can happen anywhere.
Well, that's good. Probably a good idea
because the eyes of Texas will be upon me or any other state that I'm in.
Are you worried everybody's watching?
Yeah, Come on,
man.
It's just there's not. It's
what
not possible.
In your house is your business. You know what I'm saying?
No, it's still
as
everybody else's business.
Nothing legal about it?
There's got to be something wrong with it.
No, not
gotta
really.
Be something wrong.
It's your Catholic school education. That's your Catholic guild right there.
Is that what's coming through now?
Yeah, not hurting anyone.
Yeah, well, my mom used to say, when you were like a little baby, I used to always find you in the closet, like, doing things to yourself.
I don't want to know. Okay, enough. Can we get the hot or not topics that right, maybe we've missed,
okay.
including...
Okay, I'm sorry.
Including this tweet that I saw yesterday from John Rothstein, who covers college basketball, you know, because we're ready to move on to basketball now.
Mm-hmm.
How about this? Several Big 12 coaches have told me that they believe Texas has the league's most talented roster from top to bottom. Longhorns returned 100% of their scoring and add Greg Brown.
I knew I was looking forward to basketball
yes,
season.
Yes, there we go.
Yeah.
Shaka Smart, here
we
come.
There we go.
Big year for Shaka. Also, I had this on Hot or Not. Mookie Betts last night stole a base, and everyone in America gets a taco. He won free tacos for everybody.
You don't get it till the 29th.
So what? Free taco. I have this question because, you know,
you get every homeless
you
person
don't hate
to run
the
Taco Bell.
You don't hate Baylor. You almost hate Baylor.
I
like
almost
you really
hate them.
Despise them.
I really despise them, yes.
Team you probably hate, you know, despise it as close to that as Boston Red Sox?
Close, very close. Or the Celtics.
Zay, why would the Boston Red Sox ever trade Mookie Betts? Can you believe this? They had the best player in the game, maybe the most impactful player in the game at 27 years old. They knew he was great. And they traded him for a bag of sandwiches.
By the way, the fans love Mookie Betts in Boston.
I know.
That's a hard place to get along with
fans. I still can't
get
my head around that whole thing. You know, that franchise is worth $3.3 billion, the Red Sox. They made almost $600 million in 2019. Yet they couldn't. They traded. There's not a better. I mean, Mike Trout would be the only argument. But there's not a better speed, power, offense, defense. There's not a better player in this game. And the Red Sox traded him. Why? He leaves a free agent. I kind of get that, but what? What do you think, Zay?
He does put his body out there. That's the only thing. And that contract, it's a long time. 12 years is a long time.
Yeah, but that's the going rate. You don't trade the best player in the game.
Yeah, he runs into walls and jumps over the walls and stuff.
Dodgers are happy they traded him, but that is.
Who's the guy for the Texans, the your team that used to do the Astros? Who was banging into walls?
George Springer.
Yeah, here's another one.
Well, look, the Astros would like to keep Springer, but they didn't trade him. He may leave as a free agent.
Yeah, but they're going to try their best to keep him.
Yeah, they are. They're going to make him an offer, maybe. We'll see. But George Springer's a good player. He's not Mookie Betts. He's not. George Springer's a really, really good player and a clutch postseason player. He's not Mookie Betts.
George Springer is pretty damn good.
But he's not. He's not Mookie Betts.
Okay, he's not Mookie Betts. No, he's not.
What do you have, Zay? Hot or not?
More problems down at the 40 Acres, fellas. A photographer is trying to sue Bevo for his incident with Uga at the Sugar Bowl. The photographer that was in the way that got clipped, he is trying to sue Bevo's caretakers because he feels like he has not been treated the way that he should.
I saw this. Yeah,
he's trying to get 20
medical.
Well, he's trying to get he's trying to get some medical stuff. $24,000. Hey, you got a head coach making $6 million. Pay the dude off and just be gone with him. Unless there's something else.
He's suing the handlers of Bevo and the owners of Bevo.
Well, the university will get involved in that deal. Bevo is, I mean, speaking of Isaac, Texas, you're not going to pay off Bevo's $24,000. $24,000, pay that dude, be on your way, take care of your medicals, and then watch the hell out next time you got your
camera there. And I've watched this video. I mean, I don't know the guy. He was a photographer at the Statesman, doesn't work there anymore. I mean, that was not a hard hit. I mean, he got, I mean, really.
It's Bevo. What do you mean it's not a hard hit?
Have you seen it?
It doesn't take much when you get hit by a Bevo. It's not the same as getting hit by one of the players. I mean, he'd be able to take that, but
you know,
getting hit by Bevo is another thing.
I'm not down with that. I mean, you can sue anybody. We'll see if he can win.
$24,000. Just trying to get some medical. Unless there's something underneath that says $5 million underneath the $24,000.
Well, I guess I don't know. If you're a photographer, you're on the sidelines.
Oh,
you take
back.
Risks, don't
oh,
you?
Oh my neck!
I see dudes on the sidelines getting decked every weekend.
I saw John Magovic get run over.
Yeah, isn't that kind of part of it? You're on the sideline.
You get to go to the game with your little camera. Pay the guy his 24. Pay the 24. Let's move on. Just $24,000.
All right. We'll take your thoughts.
That's one of their assistant coaches' daily rate. That guy was doing more work than they do.
Oh, man, you're...
No, we got to win this game. We got to win this game. Come on. It's Baylor.
Says, I didn't even realize the dude got hit. He barely did. I know Bevo's a big animal, but I don't know. I didn't see a lot of damage done there. I've seen a lot worse.
Dude, that dude is big if you get hit by him.
I understand he's
big. You get
big.
Grazed by him.
You say so, Doctor. Dr. Rosenrose. Dr. Tubin.
Dr. Tubin.
We'll be back, beginning on the horn.